That's sweet. Yeah. Now that adjective sweet, it's used to express satisfaction, excellence, approval, or awe. It's a expression I think we use sometimes when something's good or something's fun or pleasing. It's one word, but it communicates a lot. You know, for me, all you can eat shrimp, sweet. Yeah. Fried green tomatoes, sweet. Pumpkin pecan cheesecake, sweet. Oh, I got an amen over here. So, I mean, a totally restored 1970 Plymouth Barracuda, sweet. Huh? Plymouth fans? You know, making a game-winning shot in basketball, sweet, so I've heard. Yeah. When somebody does something really nice, you go, that's sweet. You're sweet. And then there's the sugar stuff. You know, that candy. Everybody, in fact, I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him your favorite candy this morning. All right? Don't tell them the history of candy. Just tell them your candy. Yeah. When I was in fourth grade, we lived in Kern, Illinois, a little town outside of Springfield, and there was no grocery store in town, and so my family decided to open a grocery store. We called it Talkington's Groceries, and they converted a large garage that was unattached to the house into a grocery store. And I remember after we'd been open a while, I talked to my dad about expanding our selection of candy. And I talked him into letting me put a candy counter in. And we bought this big glass candy counter, ran the length of the store. And so you could look at the candy, but you couldn't touch it. And we'd pull it out and sell it. And it was a huge hit. We sold a lot of candy. I mean, a lot of candy. And I learned a lot about candy. And I learned a lot about business doing that. Every month we would make a run to the warehouse and we would load up. And it was amazing because this warehouse had this huge selection, different kinds of candies. And so we started out, we were carrying what I call the standard fare, things like Payday and M&M's, Three Musketeer, that kind of stuff. And of course we carried my favorite candies. So we had Good and Plenty and Juicy Fruit and things like that. But we'd make this run to the warehouse, and I started seeing candies I'd never heard of. I had no idea what they were. And so each time we made a run, I would find a few new candies to order, and I would see how they would sell. And because I needed to know the product well, I needed to sample. Sometimes I needed to sample things several times. Didn't want to misguide my customers in any way. And some of the new candies we found were fantastic. They were big hits. I remember Mallow Cups and Pixie Sticks. And I remember when Zots, how many of you remember Zots? Yeah. I remember when that was first introduced, absolutely could not keep them on the shelf. We'd have people come from Springfield to buy them because we had them. And so then I found there were these candies that I had never heard of, but that I grew to really like Chico Sticks and Cowtails, and no, I wasn't starting a farm, but it was like I really liked them, but they didn't sell very well, which, as it turned out for me, was sweet because it meant I had to eat them because they were going to go stale, and, you know, what's a kid to do? I made a lot of money as a kid doing that, which that part was sweet. And I have a lot of fond memories of that candy counter in the store. This series is called Sweet. And I'm going to give us a sugar fix through this. We're going to kind of sample some of God's words and things that I think will have you saying, sweet. And so today what I want to do, I want to kind of challenge you to a taste test. I believe it can change your life like it's changed my life. Scripture says this, it says, taste and see the Lord's good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. I have learned through the years to appreciate things, a lot of things. Things that I didn't think I would like. I remember when I was a kid, my parents wanted me to try liver and onions. Really? Yeah, I heard lots of those. I'm just curious, how many of you like liver and onions? All right. Good for you. That's sweet. I hated liver and onions until I tried it. I found that I actually love liver and onions. In fact, give me liver and onions, mashed potatoes, beets, and okra. Sweet. Yeah. I like it. My grandkids, trying to get them to try something new, I'll just say sometimes it's a challenge. And it's the same routine every time. I go, have you ever had it? No. Well, just try it. I don't like it, Grandpa. How do you know you don't like it? You've never tried it. I don't like it. You can't know that. If you had never tried pulled pork, think about what you would have missed. I mean, you love pulled pork now. Yeah, but this is different, Grandpa. I don't like this. Just try it, and on and on. You know what I'm talking about. And what I find hilarious, or maybe sad, many times if they just taste something, they find they like it. Some of you have been kind of sitting at the counter, kind of checking things out. And what I want to do is challenge you to take a taste test. You know, maybe today you actually open the box up and you say, you know what? I need to taste and see if God really is as good as people are saying. My favorite candy, Good and Plenty. Anybody say Good and Plenty when they were talking about their favorite candy? Just curious. Nobody. All right. Well, it's the liver and onions of candy, apparently. The very first time I tried Good and Plenty, I was hooked. I love that crunchy coating on it. I like the soft licorice inside. When my girls were little and still in the house, it was the perfect candy. You know why? Nobody liked it. Which meant when I would go to the pantry or to the cupboard, the Good and Plenty had never been ransacked, which I found to be very sweet, sweet, sweet. No Good and Plenty fans here, huh? No. All right. Anybody want some? Anybody? All right. Here you go. Come get it. We got some up in the back there. Run these to the back row, too. Yeah. Don't crunch during the message, please. Share with your friends. When it comes to God, I believe it doesn't get any sweeter than this. In fact, when it comes to God, I think it's good and plenty. It's sweet. And here's why I say this. In a relationship with God, it is good. And it is plenty. First of all, it's a good kind of freedom that you have as a Christian. And I know as I say that, for some of you, that sounds kind of strange. Because I think when you talk to people in the world, they view Christianity as kind of confining, very restrictive. Some would say it's a suffocating system. It's like being put in a straitjacket or something. But I've got to tell you, that's not the case. I believe it's a good kind of freedom. It's sweet freedom that we experience. Jesus said, so if the Son sets you free, he's talking about himself here, you are what? Truly, truly free. oftentimes I'll hear people say things like, hey, I don't want anything cramping my style. And so people want to live without restraint. We have a whole society that wants to live that way, without any rules. And I will tell you, it's appealing on the surface. But anyone that has lived that kind of life, no rules, no restraint, they know that it's anything but freeing. I mean, living that kind of life, what you find out is that freedom that you thought you were going to get, it's kind of a myth. In fact, it oftentimes leads to disaster in life. It's kind of like driving 85 miles an hour on a winding mountain road without any guardrails. You know, it's like putting a train in motion without a track. Freedom, and there are a lot of freedom freaks in the world, those that they say, well, I'm free. But friends, I will tell you from where I stand, they're chained up. In fact, they're anything but free. It's my life. I'll do what I want to do, when I want to do it, whatever. It sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds American. It sounds like freedom, but it leads to anything but freedom. Some of you have given yourself freedom in some area of your life. You know, some of you have given yourself freedom to blow up at people. Some of you have given yourself freedom to abuse people that you love. Many, well, they give themselves freedom to do what they want to do. Doesn't matter who gets hurt or whether it's right or wrong. You know, some of you, different level, have freely believed the lies that you've been told your entire life sometimes. You're no good. You're a loser. You have no value. And Jesus comes along and he says, if I set you free, you're truly free. And that freedom is hard to explain. But I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to be chained up to something. And I know what it feels like to be free. And because of Jesus Christ, that sense of freedom, I will tell you, it's sweet. You know, sometimes I watch the news and I can easily get down watching the news. I mean, this world's a mess. It's a mess. And then the Holy Spirit will kind of remind me that I'm free, that I belong to Him, that the stuff of this world is going to pass at some point. You know, that I can live free because of my relationship with God and Jesus Christ and because of God's grace. And it feels good to know that and to know that I'm free. It feels good to know, yeah, the world may be a mess, but the creator of this universe still sits on the throne. And that lifts me up because there's hope for the future. It's sweet. It's good. It's the very thing that keeps me moving forward. You know, the psalmist writes, it says, we live within the shadow of the Almighty, sheltered by the God who is above all gods. I mean, how sweet it is to be loved by God. How sweet it is to be loved by the creator of the universe, your creator and maker. I need the shelter of God's arms. I need that refuge in my life in a world when it's gone mad sometimes, when life's painful. You know, I need to be loved by a God who's always there and reaching out and forgiving. A God who's willing to guide me in life and protect me. It's sweet to be loved by a God who wants the very, very best for me. See, sweet love, sweet devotion. You may think doing things on your own, doing your own thing, you may think you're free. But friends, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, When you make him Savior and Lord, it breaks the chains. Then you're free indeed. It's a good freedom. If you just taste it, you would see that God is good. You discover that good kind of freedom in your life. You know, when you taste of God, I think you find a good foundation for your life. Some of you are afraid to give your life to Jesus Christ. You're afraid to make him Savior and Lord in your life. You're afraid because you think, oh, I got to unplug my brain. In fact, you believe that you're going to have to abandon your intellect for some reason. But I want to assure you, I would never encourage people to give their life to Jesus Christ and to follow if it was just about making you feel better. See, I encourage people to pursue God, not only because it helps, but because it's true. What Jesus Christ said is true. When he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, he backed it up when he walked out of the grave that day. It's truth worth building your life on. And if you're looking for something to build your life on, you build it on the truth of the one that knows it all, that created it all. It's a good foundation. You know, I believe the words of Jesus Christ, I believe Scripture becomes a good foundation for living. Jesus said this, he said, anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. It's a good foundation. It's a rock solid foundation. No shifting sand here. That's what the world offers. Shifting sand. You ever notice that? Change what we believe. Move it around. Who cares? You know, see what's hot today is not tomorrow. It's always shifting. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. It will. But my word will never pass away. See, Jesus was offering a good foundation for living. It's eternal. Made sense 2,000 years ago, and it'll make sense 2,000 years from now. We live in a world, I hear this more and more. People go, well, yeah, but I believe this. I believe that. And usually, if it's something kind of messed up or goes counter to where God's at, I'll say, well, why do you believe that? I mean, what do you base that belief on? And most of the time people say, well, you know, I don't know. I believe it. I believe it. It's what I believe. And so usually I'll press them at that point. Well, what do you base your belief on? You have to base it on something. Now, here's the troubling thing for me. People will say different things, but there'll be things like, well, I was reading this help book about self-help and they said this, or I was on the web and I was looking at this website and this blog and this person said this, or a friend of mine said, well, actually it was a friend of a friend of a friend that told me this, and you know, I was reading my horoscope and I decided that's why I believe what I believe. Shifting sand. Friends, not a good foundation. The eternal word of God is a much better foundation. It's a good foundation for building your life on. It really is. God also offers a good kind of, I'm going to call it fun, joy in life. You know, frequently I'll be talking to people that are kind of investigating Christianity, checking it out. They're trying to figure out where God fits in their life and what it means to be a part of a church. And invariably, if I get in a conversation with them, at some point they'll say, you know, I guess when I become a Christian, it means no more fun. I got to live kind of a boring, no joy life. And for some reason, people believe that God's going to kind of take that stuff away from you when you give your life to him, that no more joy, no more fun. And I just want to scream and go, you're wrong. You're wrong. It is so ironic in this society that is so saturated with enjoy yourself. You know, people are always asking the question, are we having fun yet? Are you having fun yet? All right. I thought about that when you were playing Sugar Sugar at the beginning of service. It's like, are we having fun yet? We have fun around here. But I remember watching one of my roommates when I was in college. He wasn't studying for ministry. He was on another path. And he would get back from a six-pack night. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, he'd get back. And then he would spend the rest of the evening and the morning, and he'd be hugging the toilet. And I remember I would walk by him. I'd go, here's to friends. Tonight's kind of special, isn't it? Doesn't get any better than this. Are we having fun yet? I have watched party-crazed people live out their wildest fantasies, having the time of their life, so they thought, and you're going, are you having fun yet? And I've asked the question before, and I already knew the answer. No, we're not. So many times we are pursuing stuff that leaves us in a wake of shame and pain in life. It destroys our health. You know, it leaves us in financial problems and relational issues. And it's anything but fun. Friends, there is something deeper. There's something better. And I can't fully explain it. I mean, some of you are pursuing fun in some very strange places. And I want to say, are you having fun yet? There's something better. It's a gift from God. You know, it's contentment and peace and joy. You can't manufacture it. You can't drink it. You can't drive it. You can't date it. But it's there. It's something you have when you give your life to Jesus Christ and you make him Lord and Savior of your life. Job writes this. He says, he will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. This is something that happens inside you. It bubbles up. It's a gift from God. It comes out, and it is a good kind of fun. I enjoy life. Anybody that knows me well knows I enjoy life. And I've had lots of fun in my life. But it is the fun that I've experienced as a Christian that's lasting, that's real, it's good fun. You know, because of Jesus Christ, because of the freedom that I have in him. Because I'm building on that good foundation in my life, using his word as that foundation. Because of that, I'm having a good time. It's good. I challenge you to just taste and see how good life is in Jesus Christ. I also want to challenge you to take the taste test if you're a Christian here today. I want to challenge you several ways because I find that many Christians are not experiencing the abundant life that Jesus Christ talks about. In fact, many Christians live beneath their privilege. Many Christians just show up at church. They want the religious experience. And that's okay if you start there. But when you give your life to Christ, there's got to be more. I mean, it bothers me because you can have so much more when you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship that's growing. And there's a big difference between the religious experience and a relationship. And here's the plenty part that we're going to talk about. Because when you're in a relationship with God and Jesus Christ, not only is it good, but it's plenty. It's plenty. There's plenty of power for your life. Several years ago, the Rose Bowl parade, I don't know if you remember this, but one of the floats ran out of gas, held the parade up for 30 minutes. They had to deliver fuel to it, and it was kind of ironic because the float was sponsored by Standard Oil. Too many Christians are kind of like that float. Although we have this incredible resource available to us, we don't take advantage of the benefits. See, God gave us the gift of salvation, but God also took up residency in us. The Holy Spirit dwells inside us, and God really wants to do life with you. When I realized that God wanted to do life with me every single day, friends, when I understood that and started living that way, it changed everything, and I'm talking significantly in my life. You know, once in a while, someone will catch me and they'll go, "Hey, Damon, you're a pastor. I'm just curious, how much time do you spend with God?" And I'll go, 24/7. And they'll kind of look at it. I said, I spend every moment with God. Doesn't mean I'm always doing what I need to be doing, but I'm striving for that. Every moment with God. I can't get rid of the guy. I mean, I can't say, "Hey, you know, just stay here, God. I'll be back in a little while." He's going with me. He's taking up permanent residence in me. And because of that, what I find is I have plenty of fuel. I have plenty of power in my life to navigate through life and do what God's called me to do. See, I'm not smart enough. And I'm not strong enough, and I'm not wise enough to navigate on my own. I've discovered I need the Holy Spirit's power in my life. I need the Holy Spirit guiding me and leading me and prompting me and convicting me and challenging me and comforting me in life. A God that provides plenty of power and plenty of fuel. Paul writes this. He says, "I pray that you'll begin to understand." You don't get it. You got to get this to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe him. It is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Power. God-given power. You know, too many Christians are kind of like the guy that bought the chainsaw. You heard this, the guy goes to the hardware store, he talks to the clerk, finds a chainsaw, he goes, "Will this cut down 100 trees a day?" The guy goes, "Sure, if you're willing to work that hard." So he bought the chainsaw the next morning and got up, he headed out to cut down trees. He cut down one tree. The guy took it back to the hardware store the next day, said, "You said this could cut 100 trees a day." He said, "I barely cut down one." The clerk said, "Well, there's got to be something wrong with the chainsaw." And so the clerk flipped the switch and pulled the cord. The guy goes, "What's that sound?" "Oh, it comes in waves." Some of you just got that, didn't you? Yeah. Friends, I spent years of my life doing that. And I could make some progress, but I'll tell you, it was hard. And then God revealed to me and flipped that switch, and I realized the Holy Spirit's got plenty of power. You know, that power that dwells inside you. It's there to help you in life. I would challenge you to taste and see that the Lord's good. That through the Holy Spirit, that he will provide for you plenty of power to face and navigate whatever it is that you got to navigate through. You know, invite him in to do every single day with you, every moment with you. He's there waiting. Just taste and see. It's sweet. It's sweet, I'm telling you. God also will produce plenty of fruit in you. And I'm not talking like orange slices and lemon heads and juji fruit. You know, it's the good kind of fruit. Galatians, Paul writes, he says, "But the fruit that the Spirit produces in a person's life is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." How many of you could use some patience in your life? Yeah. How many of you could use some self-control? Peace, joy, kindness, goodness. I mean, I can on all those fronts. Do you know why you struggle so much being around difficult people or people that rub you the wrong way? Do you know why you have trouble finding joy and peace in your life? You know why you're not as patient as you should be, as kind, as good? Why you lack self-control in certain areas? This may surprise you, the answer to that. It is not because you don't try hard. Most people try really hard. But friends, no matter how hard you try, you will never be able to produce that kind of fruit in your life. You won't. You cannot manufacture it. It is only by the Holy Spirit living inside you. The Holy Spirit can produce that kind of fruit. You know, Jesus, he gave us a secret here. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I want you to look at that. Notice where the command is. The command is not to bear fruit. The command is to remain in him. Abide, some of the scriptures say, in him. When you do that, you start producing fruit. What kind of fruit do you produce? Well, the kind of fruit that the vine produces, that you're connected to, produces. So, apple trees produce what? Orange trees produce what? Cantaloupe trees produce what? I'm just saying if you're with me. I know they don't grow. I know they're on vines. All right. Friends, if I'm connected to the vine of Jesus Christ, I'm going to produce the kind of things that Jesus Christ produces. Things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. All those things that so many times we long for. We try really, really hard to produce in our own life. And the question is, are you remaining in Jesus Christ? Are you abiding in Jesus Christ? Because many times when we struggle in life, it's because of a lack of connection. We're not spending time alone with God on a daily basis. We're not spending time daily in the Bible and in prayer. I mean, are you doing those things? Yeah, attending worship regularly, connecting on a ministry team, in a life group. Are you doing life with other Christians where you can kind of challenge one another and encourage one another? Because when you do those things, you're abiding, you're remaining in Jesus Christ. And when you do that, then the Holy Spirit begins to produce all those fruits. And what you find is you're producing fruits and you have plenty of power in your life. You'll also find that many times Christians, they miss out. They miss out in the Christian adventure. Because they're not willing to venture out, not willing to take a risk, not willing to get out of the comfort zone, not willing to trust God in their life. Paul, he challenges, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. See, by living sacrifice, it requires me to have faith in God's ability to lead me, to guide me, to direct me. See, it leads to a good kind of faith. You know, it's trusting God enough that you're willing to give up control. You voluntarily give up total control to God. You live for God. You live a faith that's willing to take risks. You learn to trust God. And as you trust God, guess what? You start sacrificing. You're a living sacrifice because you trust him. It has been an adventure since I gave my life to Jesus Christ. You know, since I made him Lord in my life, not just Savior, but Lord in my life, I finally came to a point early in my life as a Christian, and I just said, you know what, God, it's all yours. It's all yours. I'm yours. I want to make a difference in this world. I want to make a big splash. I want to send out ripples throughout the community and the world. God, you and me, life together. And I can remember just saying to God, I trust you, and whatever it is you want from me, I'm willing to do it. Now, forever, I'm yours. Friends, it's been sweet, 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 sweet. Wouldn't change anything. Don't misunderstand me. It hasn't always been perfect. It's been hard sometimes. But it's still been sweet. Now, I watch Christians so many times living very boring, predictable lives. And my heart aches because I think you could have had a life filled with faith, a life that requires faith. You know, when you take that step, friends, all I can say is prepare for sweetness in your life. When you finally taste and see that the Lord really is good. You know, the tightrope walker, Charles Blondin, he walked across Niagara Falls hundreds of times. One time they said he was greeted, and it was a crowd of about 10,000 people. And people were cheering, and they were chanting his name. And they said he walked to the podium, and he silenced the crowd, and he said, my name's Blondin. Do you believe in me? They said, the crowds, we believe, we believe, we believe. And he silenced them again. He says, do you believe in the great Blondin? You know, do you believe that I can walk to the other side? And they're like, we believe, we believe. He said, do you believe that I can push a wheelbarrow to the other side? We believe, we believe. Do you believe I can do that with somebody in it? We believe, we believe. He said, who will be that person? It went quiet. He waited a long time. No volunteers. Finally, one woman volunteered. Turned out to be his mom. Yeah, moms. Only moms would do that. Said it took him 2 hours to push her across. Now, here's the point. 10,000 people said, we believe. The reality is one person believed. Faith is about walking to the edge. And when you're at the edge of your knowledge, your abilities, whatever it is, it's taking one more step. And friends, that's the kind of faith we are called to have as Christians. When you walk closely with God, when you spend time with God on a regular basis, what happens is you start trusting God more and more, and what you find is you have plenty of faith for whatever it is that you need to go through. You find you have the kind of faith that'll take risks. In fact, I think you have the kind of faith that makes life a real adventure. I mean, isn't that the kind of life you want? Wouldn't you love to go on an adventure with the creator and king of this universe? I don't know about you, but that's what I want. And I've been praying that you, those of you that are showing up here at Faith Fellowship, haven't given your life to Jesus Christ yet, but you're checking things out. I mean, I've been praying for you. That you would kind of move from that checking out, trying to figure out where God fits in your life, and that today maybe you'd open the box and taste and see. The Lord really is good. I mean, you may have heard about grace. You may have heard about the forgiveness of God, the goodness of God, but that you would taste and see that God is good. He's got good freedom for you. good foundation for your living, and that there's a good kind of fun to be had. And then I've been praying for those of you that are Christians, that you would not be satisfied just attending church, but that you would walk with Jesus Christ, that it would be a rich walk and a deep walk and a fulfilling walk, and that as you live in relationship with God and Jesus Christ, that you would start living in the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, power that God's put inside you, that you start living up to your potential and allowing the Holy Spirit to produce fruit in you, you know, the good stuff, and that your faith would be energized and it would change you, that you would taste and see that the Lord's good. Good and plenty. Sweet, 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 sweet. I'm going to invite the band back to lead us in worship. I just challenge you, folks. Those of you that haven't taken a step of faith, make today the day. We've got prayer teams. They'll be down front here. If you want them to pray with you, maybe you just want to right where you're at, just say, you know what, God, today's the day. I'm giving it up to you. And then to Christians, I'd encourage you, because so many times we're living way below where we need to live. We're not experiencing the abundant life, and we wonder why. You know, and usually it has to do with we're kind of holding some things back. And that you just say, you know what, God, today's the day. There'll be teams down here that pray with you. They'd be glad to maybe got something going on in your life that you just need someone to pray. I say this often, but you don't even have to tell them what it is. You can just say, hey, I need prayer. You know, I got some vocational stuff going on. Or you can just say, I just need prayer, and leave it at that. But let's stand, and we're going to close in prayer and worship here. Our holy God, God, we praise you. God, you truly make life sweet. And God, we lay it all at your feet today. God, I don't know what problems people brought with them today that are weighing them down, but God, I pray they'd lay it at your feet. That they'd experience the sweetness in life, that they'd experience that rich love of yours. Maybe they feel like they don't have any more power to move forward, that you would just energize them with your Holy Spirit's power. Maybe there's something they've been trying to work through, keeps defeating them, but your Holy Spirit would just produce in them fruit to overcome. Maybe peace or joy has been just fleeting, that God, you would show them where true peace is, and true joy. God, we just thank you that you loved us so much, you sent your Son to die for us. God, I pray for those that maybe today, the first time they're going to open their life to you. God, that you would hear those cries, that you would hear that longing in their heart, that today, Lord, you'd become Savior and Lord of their life. God, we give you the glory, we give you the praise this day and every day. God's people said, let's worship together.